Exacto.
Before I start the show tonight, I want to share some personal news
with you. He began demanding that I go lower and massaging on the abdominal.
I did marry a marvelous man. I think that...
He began demanding that I go lower and massaging on the abdominal.
How's it going, bud?
What?
To hear the All Things Considered theme. Anyway, welcome back to our show, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we'll go anywhere, including through the looking glass, to find it. Anyway, welcome back to our program. Speaking about truth being our bitch on this show, if you go to our website right now, this actually is not a very good segue.
Yeah, I've got to say, what, there's nothing bad. There's truth, but not that big of a deal.
Well, let me just segue anyway, okay? If you go to our website right now, that's philhenryshow.com, take a look at a live streaming video of our show, and you go over to Watch Live, Listen Live, and you click on that, and brother, there we are. Of course, you have to have a backstage pass, but that ain't no thing. You get that and click on that, and on our Phil feed tonight, tonight's show material, we list all the material that we may be using. Some of this stuff we're going to be using this hour, and some of it we already have used. We also have a video we've posted, the 100 greatest movie insults of all time in under 10 minutes. We also have Margaret Gray's A Little Bird Told Me, as she talks about a popular film blogger on the run, possibly from the police. And we have some artwork there from Amanda Green. And we have some pictures we took of El Pacifico today. Did you see that?
What the hell? Oh, that weather looked bad.
Yeah, how come it's cloudy?
Because that's the way it is out at El Pacifico, man. We got socked in. So we take some pictures of the beach area here. Just go on over to philhenryshow.com and you get familiar with all of it. All kinds of funny news, not necessarily important or groundbreaking or earthshaking, but very funny and very strange news. We'll get into a lot of it. The Al Gore situation is such a perverse and strange scenario, and I don't really know yet what's true. And I refuse to do what a lot of people do, which is assign my ideology to it, and aha, Al Gore, okay, oh man, I think he's guilty, he did it, he might, oh, this is going to be so much fun watching this guy burn, but we're not going to do that.
Why not, though? You know, if Al Gore, he's a guy, well, global warming, set him up and everything.
Yeah, if they find out.
Oh, I don't care, man. I mean, I don't want to see this cat burn to the ground if he didn't do it, you understand?
Yeah, but that lady, she said he grabbed her hand and put it down. I mean, he put it right on the stick, man.
Is that right? Do you know we're on the air? You know that?
Oh, well, I can't say stick.
Would you shut up? And both of you guys, don't mention Al Gore until I mention Al Gore. Now, there's one other story that is not that big of a deal, but I think it bears a little scrutiny, because this is precisely what we were telling you guys. Every day, something happens. And we have to, you know, resist saying, see, that's another thing we pointed out. And that's another thing we pointed out. That's another thing we pointed out. Because there's so much of it going on. But here's something we pointed out. The Daily Coast, according to the Huffington Post, or maybe it's the Huffington Post according to the Daily Coast. No, it's the Daily Coast according to the Huffington Post.
Huffington Post.
Not the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post, the Daily Coast. Okay?
Well, how do you know?
Because it says right here, the Daily Coast. Now, the founder of the Daily Coast, Marcos Melitzis, went to the website Tuesday to announce he's going to file a lawsuit against the pollster Research 2000. Why is he suing them? Because their data is horse dung. Their data is not for real. Their data is just made up. It's just bunk. Now, according to Melitzis, a recent report carried out by three statistic wizards shows that a certain amount of the data compiled by the Maryland-based polling company, which is Research 2000, for the Daily Coast's weekly State of the Nation poll was, in fact, bunk. We were defrauded by Research 2000, And while we don't know if some or all of the data was fabricated or manipulated beyond recognition, we know now that we can't trust it. Now, it's stunning to me that Marcus would just now be coming to that conclusion. Because we've said on this show, and we even pointed out, that this company, Research 2000, when they came up with a poll that showed that roughly more than half, I think it was, more than half of all Republicans thought Barack Obama was born in Kenya, we realized that's got to be horse dung. I mean, look, I don't love conservatives. I could care less, and I sure as hell don't love Republicans. But one thing I do love is somebody giving me the straight facts. And you ain't going to tell me that over 50% of Republicans think Obama was born in Kenya. If people believe that, I hate to tell you, I'm smarter than them. Because when we saw that, we knew it was horse dung. Now, that was last year, right after Obama had been elected. I said, well, that isn't true. Well, the story came and the story went. And it was this Research 2000 that these jackasses at Daily Coast were using. Well, guess what? It wasn't true, and as far as what they're saying here goes, maybe none of the stuff that this Research 2000 released to Daily Coast is true. I don't know what their problem is. I don't know whether they're too lazy or too stupid, or they saw in the Daily Coast real easy pickings. You know, boy, look at this. We can get the contract with this jackass. He'll pay us so much money, and all we got to do is come up with all kinds of really impressive stuff. You know. Like the poll numbers really fit with the whole editorial position of the Daily Coast, which is Republicans are stupid and the war is bad and this is great and that's bad and this is good and that isn't and so on and so forth. And we can just feed this guy the poll numbers that he's going to say, wow, look at this. That's what they did. Now, according to the Daily Coast, and you know the Daily Coast is a liberal blog / news site, Huffington Post the same way, although Huffington Post has been attempting to moderate a little bit. They banned that jackass Jesse Ventura from their website. I mean, Jesse Ventura is a disaster. He's a walking disaster. He's a walking imbecile, a walking, breathing, living example of how imbecility can still be a profitable venture in America so long as you got, I guess, the right website in your pocket. Well, they finally said, okay, take a hike. You're just a jackass. What are you talking about? Don't you understand? No, we understand a lot of stuff, but the stuff you're talking about, man, you're from Mars. Now get out of here. You want to know where you went wrong, Larry? How about having that guy on your show so many times? I wanted to puke. You had him on. It seemed like you had him on every 3 weeks with some new hallucination. All right, anyway.
I got to say something right here and now.
What?
Jesse Ventura is the same guy wanted on the WrestleMania those times that you were saying.
So
you don't think he deserves any respect for that?
For being on WrestleMania? Yeah, he was on WrestleMania.
Yeah, but he's a commentator.
He wasn't just a wrestler, he's a commentator.
So he wasn't just a wrestler, he was a commentator. Okay, I'll give him that. I'll give him that he was a wrestler and a commentator on WrestleMania.
Yeah, and you kept WrestleMania 5 for a long time.
I had it on videotape because I didn't. What are you trying to say?
I just think you're being a little probably not right about it.
Yeah, I mean, what about the loyalty?
Oh, will you guys straighten up and fly right, man? The loyalty? I don't have any special loyalty to that guy. I didn't keep WrestleMania 5 because I wanted to look at Jesse Ventura in that asinine outfit of his, along with, what's the guy's name?
Gorilla Monsoon. You even told me you like him.
I like Gorilla Monsoon. Why don't you guys knock it off, okay? I kept that because I wanted to see the other wrestlers. I don't give a damn about him. I don't care about him.
Yeah, but you said you thought him and Monsoon was good.
He and Monsoon were good, man, but let me tell you something, bud. I ain't talking about wrestling right now. I'm talking about something completely different. I just happened to mention Jesse Ventura because he's a weird ass, all right? And they kicked his ass off of the Huffington Post, and he's about as stupid as the day is long. And, you know, they had a recall. You know, people don't remember these things, man, but I remember I was looking up something, and Ventura's name kept popping up for some reason. And right there in front of me is a recall effort. The state of Minnesota, a recall of Jesse Ventura. So how quickly they forget. Nonetheless, here we have this Daily Coast dealing with Research 2000. Research 2000, according to the Coast, refused to offer any explanation. Early in the process, he said, I asked for and they offered to provide us with their raw data for independent analysis, which could potentially exculpate them or exculpate.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Rid them of blame or guilt. That was 2 weeks ago, and despite repeated promises to provide us that data, Research 2000 ultimately refused to do so. At one point, they claimed they couldn't deliver them because their computers were down and they had to work out of a Kinko's office. You're going to get sued, folks. You're going to get sued by Marcos Melitzis. You're going to get sued until you bleed. You're going to get sued until you're out of business. You're going to get sued until there ain't nothing left to sue. This guy... You made him look bad. You came up, you cooked up some numbers, man, that even a guy like Phil Hendry could figure out. There was no way they had any relationship to reality. We figured that out a year ago. I should have called up old Marcus and told him then, hell, we might have gotten some reward money or something.
Yeah, he would have probably given you an award or something.
Well, anyway... So they can't come up with this stuff. They're working out of a Kinko's. You guys, you're scrambling. You don't have the data that he's looking for. You know you don't. He pledged to hire a new pollster to work with, helping us to fulfill our vision of surveying races and issues that are often overlooked by the traditional media and polling outfits. Melitzis cut ties with Research 2000 earlier in June after Nate Silver's popular website, 538.com, rated the company as one of the least accurate pollsters in operation. 538. Met Tuesday's news of the forthcoming Research 2000 lawsuit by highlighting a particularly questionable data trend from the company's polls. In particular, Obama's favorability number rarely remained the same from week to week in Research 2000's tracking. Instead, almost always moving in one direction or the other by at least a point. Compare this to Obama's weekly approval numbers in Gallup's polling, which resembled a far more natural and indeed fairly normal distribution. The bombshell's already beginning to reverberate across online news outlets. Talking Points memo has already purged Research 2000's data from their polling database. You guys don't need to talk to the coasts, and you don't need to read the news. Ask us. We'll tell you when these polls are released, and we've said it over and over and over again. We have said... Polling data is horse dung, and what is considered to be a news story is most likely something somebody is trying to prop, something that somebody is trying to sell. It may not have anything to do with real news. Why do you suppose it is all of a sudden we have stories about movies that are about to come out? You know, this movie is very controversial. Who do you think's planting that stuff in the press? The movie itself. The movie's press people. All right, we're going to come back with more of this. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, Al Gore, and the police reopened that thing, you know, him and this chick, so we'll have to listen to the very disgusting audio of her explaining about her hand and Al. And then Elizabeth Edwards on splitting from John Edwards on Larry King and some other stuff. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I'm just looking for this.
All you want to do is dump bad stuff on him.
Oh, well, don't start bawling, bud, okay?
What are you, man? Like his wife?
I'm not his wife.
Hey, I'm just looking up this Jesse Ventura. If he was conspiracy theory with Jesse Ventura is on True TV, not CNN, and it's still on. Well, good for him. No, I'm looking up this thing. I thought for sure I saw something about this guy being recalled, or there was a recall effort. And I know there was a recall effort, but I just don't know how far it went. Let's see. Is the word recall in purple? Oh, it's in blue. Ah, forget it. Anyway, let's move on. 877-876-PHIL. What are you looking at?
I just think that you'd make him look bad.
Who cares, man? I don't care, bud. And I don't give a damn if you're a big WWE fan. It doesn't make any difference to me, okay? He should have stayed with wrestling. He's a weird ass. He traffics in phony baloney junk, okay? He's a junk man. That's what he's got to sell. Junk. He's not very bright. He can't admit that he's not all that bright. He was running around with that Thomas Jefferson quote for the longest time, him and 85 million other dummies, and we find out that Thomas Jefferson never said that.
What?
That whole tree of liberty refreshed with the blood of tyrants thing, or whatever it was. I forget. It was a quote from Thomas Jefferson. They said it was from Jefferson, and Jefferson never damn well said it. So,
no, the tree of a tyrant is refreshed with the blood of, or
that's it. Screw it up on purpose, man.
Yeah, man, that's what you're doing.
No, I'm not.
It's the tree of, I'm not even going to quote it, it's been so misused and so badly applied and so utterly, it's like the only quote anybody's got about Thomas Jefferson, and they apply it to everything. Yes, the tree of liberty must be refreshed with the blood of tyrants and patriots. Oh, what were you talking about? Well, the fact the price on Don Julio is so high at Costco, I demand they bring it down because the tree of liberty, you know, my property taxes just went up, and I think the Tree of Liberty needs to be refreshed with the...
What are you talking about, man?
I'm saying that that quote comes into play every time some simple-minded jackass gets his taxes on his property jacked up, or they see some other thing happen. What do you... The Tree of Liberty, yeah, I get it. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for the quote that he screwed up. All right. Al Gore is a pervert and a sexual predator, says the Highline and the highlight in the National Enquirer. Well, of course, we knew that. No, it's nothing funny, especially if the man's being accused wrongly or wrongfully. But that's the story. Portland police have reopened the case regarding a sex abuse allegation made in 2006 against former Vice President Al Gore. Police did not immediately elaborate on what led them to reopen the case. Through a statement, Gore denied the allegation. The Gores cannot comment on every defamatory, misleading, and inaccurate story generated by tabloids, said spokeswoman Kaylee Kreider. Mr. Gore unequivocally and emphatically denied the accusation when he first learned of its existence 3 years ago. He stands by that denial. Here is the alleged individual. Her name is Molly something or other. And Molly Haggerty, I think. And here is a newly released tape. The unnamed masseuse talks with a Portland detective. So they say. We don't particularly believe it. Or if she is talking to a Portland detective, he sure ain't saying a whole lot. And she sounds like she's reading from a prepared statement. So I don't know whether if she was talking to a cop, did the cop say, tell you what, why don't you type your statement up and I'll have you record it. Or I'll record it. I don't know. But anyway, here she is. Talking into this tape recorder.
I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop down several times, and I finally told him and said, you're being a crazy sex poodle, hoping that he'd realize how weird he was being, yet he persisted. He was much stronger than me, bigger than me, and insistent. It was completely unnerving, and I realized that resistance was making him giggle and pursue more strongly.
All right, now here the masseuse claims he was shocked by, she was shocked by wanting, by Gore wanting sex.
He began demanding that I go lower and massaging on the abdominal area. I was shocked, and I did not massage beyond what is considered a safe non-sexual area of the abdomen. He further insisted and acted angry, becoming verbally sharp and loud. I went into much deeper shock as I realized it appeared he was demanding sexual favors. Or sexual behaviors.
All right. Doesn't sound like she's reading, does it? Not. In any event, the masseuse tells the detective, or so we think she's talking to a detective, it still doesn't sound like she's talking to anybody, that Gore pulled her hand onto his crotch.
I decided to clarify things by asking him, as he angrily complained that I was not doing what he wanted, for him to show me exactly what he wanted me to do, such as where I'm such. I said, well, why don't you show me? I thought, this is too nuts. He grabbed my right hand hard, shoved it down under the sheet to his pubic hair area, and said to me, there, in a very sharp, loud, angry-sounding tone.
And then the masseuse claimed she was disappointed in Gore because she trusted him.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. This was yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something. I was further deeply shocked and repulsed as my realization of what was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone I had inherently trusted as a good guy who cares about people, including me, because of his public persona.
All right, well, she doesn't sound like she's answering questions. She's reading there. Secondly, if the guy is being rude and loud and is grabbing your hand, why are you asking him to show you? You know, there's a ton of questions here, and there's probably no answers. Phil Hendry's show, we'll be back, though. We'll keep kicking it around because it's fun and it's dirty and, you know, we got another 30 minutes.
Yeah, I got time to burn.
We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So this tape recording of this Molly Haggerty is her reading a statement to the Portland police. She's not being interviewed by the cops. She's not being asked any questions by the cops. She's not having a give and take with the cops. She is reading a statement that is alleged to have been recorded by the Portland Police Department. But we're still digging into that, too. So maybe she told this story to the cops and they said, would you be willing to repeat that story into a tape recorder, and she probably said yes. So it's not an interview with the cops. It's not a Q&A with the cops. It has nothing to do with the cops investigating or interrogating or asking questions that somebody might have forgotten to ask or asking questions that might need to be asked. It's none of that stuff. It is her reading into a tape recorder. It's not an interview. Now, here's the thing, folks, that I told you. I've told you this a million times. I didn't need the Portland newspaper to tell me that, and I didn't need my producer to look it up and tell me that when I asked him to, and I don't need anybody to tell me that. I can tell listening to the tape. Can't you? Now, you may think it's not a big deal. You may say, well, so what's the big deal, Phil? Well, there's a big deal from this standpoint. She obviously wasn't being questioned at all. So I don't know what question she was asked. All I know is she wrote something down, and they had her record it into a tape recorder. And to me, that sounds like she could have practiced it. She could have memorized it. She could have taken her time figuring out what kind of marvelous details she's going to put in. Do I like Al Gore? No, I do not. I don't like him. I voted for him for president. But in the years that have gone by, I don't like him at all. I don't like him at all. I'm not going to get into why I don't, but you can guess. But that's got nothing to do with whether or not this broad's telling the truth.
I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop.
All right, enough of that garbage. 877-876-PHIL. Students fight to have Pledge of Allegiance said in classrooms. Sean Harrington is a 17-year-old senior at Arlington High School. He's fighting to have the Pledge of Allegiance recited in all Arlington public schools. Harrington gave the school committee a petition signed by more than 700 people that would require that the pledge be recited in all Arlington schools each day. This is Arlington, Massachusetts. The committee is deadline. Do you know the Pledge of Allegiance, bud?
Well, they haven't said it a long time.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I know you do, Robert, but you?
Why do you think he does?
Because I've heard him recite it. Do you?
Sort of.
Go ahead, try it.
What are you going to embarrass me for? Do you know it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know it?
Yeah, I do know it. I do know it.
Go ahead, say it.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wrong.
Wrong, man.
What do you mean wrong?
You said under God. They don't have no God in it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they don't, man. They don't have no God in it now.
Well, you know what? I wish that they would get that out of there so that we could start saying it again, because wasn't that the big beef in the first place, that pain in the ass? That one guy, whatever he was?
That was that one guy didn't want it on account of the God thing. That's why I said you did it all wrong. You're the kind of guy going to get it all kicked out again.
No, I'm not going to get it kicked out again. I said when they kicked it out the first time, I said, why don't they let the kids say the Pledge of Allegiance and keep that under God jazz out of there? Because they didn't add that till the 50s anyway. The Pledge of Allegiance never had any mention of God in it. They stuck that in after the fact. All right. Kathleen Bodie, Arlington superintendent of schools, told Fox News Radio that the principal wanted to be very respectful about the pledge and be sensitive to the Supreme Court ruling that students are not forced to say the pledge. He wanted to be sensitive to the diverse group of students we have. The diverse group of students we have. You mean some are smart and some are stupid? Bodie or Bodie said that there has been reluctance to put the district's teachers in a position of reciting the pledge, and she acknowledged that some have raised concerns about its inclusion. Oh, boy, it's the craziest thing you ever heard of in your life. Our country is so free that you don't even have to acknowledge that you live in a country. You don't have to acknowledge that you have any allegiance to any kind of a society, that you don't even have to have allegiance to any society. Well, I suppose, no, you don't. You don't have to do anything other than not break laws. You know, we were talking about the family, you know, being the single most subversive unit in any society. And when I say subversive, it's because the family is the one unit that the government can't infiltrate. It's the one unit that Big Brother, that everybody keeps yapping about, that everybody keeps saying they're afraid of, it's the one unit that Big Brother cannot mess with. And it's probably one of the reasons why a lot of families say, hey, watch what you teach my kid, because suddenly you're getting between me and my kid. The problem is that at some point, something's going to get between you and your kid. It's called the kid leaving home. And I don't mean leaving home, you know, to move into his own apartment. I mean leaving home for his paper route, leaving home for his job after school, leaving home to visit his friends, leaving home to go to a movie, leaving home, you know, leaving the nest and going out and interacting with the world in the very first and very fragile ways that children do. And guess what? Something just got between you and your kid. It's called life, the world. Now, I know that people recognize that. I get that. But that's not what interferes with the family. That's not what interferes with the family. Kid can go to school, and yes, parents should be very mindful of what it is the kids are being taught. But you can't get so crazy about it that you think your kid, your fragile and marvelous kid, is suddenly getting their mind poisoned with all kinds of stuff that is going to affect the actual love, the fabric of your own family, the interaction of you and your kid, and the just the marvelousness of everything that your family is. You can't get so crazy that that begins to be what's in your mind. I mean, if you've got a strong family, you've got a strong family, regardless of what the hell the kid is being taught. Sometimes you send a kid to school and you say, all right, now this is a point of view, and this is sort of the official point of view, and this is where it's at. Bang. Okay? Great. All right. Hey, Dad, you know, we learned today that, yeah, what's that? What did you learn today? Well, we learned today that, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a great man. Oh, okay. Well, that's the American point of view. You know that your family comes from the South. And we think that Jefferson Davis was pretty damn special, too. But I guess you can't get taught all of that stuff in school. Sometimes the history books, as they say, are written by the winners. So we'll just teach you about Jefferson Davis here, you know. Well, you know, Dad, what about some of this stuff having to do with the Pledge of Allegiance? All right, well, you know that we don't really believe in that. But it's not a bad thing for you to take a look at some people pledge allegiance. That's the flag. And say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, okay? Well, I don't want to have allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I know that. And you know, and you know that, but you just go ahead and you pledge allegiance anyway, and we'll come back and we will talk about it. This is called learning to live within the society that you're growing up in. This is called speaking the language. This is called not making everything a federal case, not turning everything into a war, not turning everything into a battle. You know the old saying, pick your battles?
About what?
I know about pick your nose.
Pick your nose. You know what I'm saying about pick your nose? Yeah, you pick your nose?
Hey, look, man, I'm picking my nose. Why don't you guys grow up? Pick your battles. You never heard that, huh?
No, I heard pick your nose.
You heard pick your nose, huh?
Yeah, like this.
Get out of there and quit. You know what? Go ahead, stick your finger in your nose. You want to watch what happens?
What?
You go ahead, put your finger up your nose. Go ahead.
Don't do it, man. He's going to punch you in the nose.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to break that finger is what I'm going to do. Put your finger up that nose. I'm going to pop you right in the nose and bust your nose and your finger. How do you feel about that?
You wouldn't. You would you?
Yes, I would.
I thought you was talking about the fledgling of allegiance. Or?
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, now you're talking about busting his finger in his nose. I mean, that's jacked up, man.
Yeah, make up your mind.
The Pledge of Allegiance, all I'm saying is one way of looking at life. It's one way of saying, well, this is how some people do it. Maybe someday I'll do it that way. But, you know, one of the problems parents have, I hate to say it, is you don't realize that your kid is a kid. You think your kid is the greatest thing that ever walked. The sun rises and sets. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's still a kid, under 18, and is supposed to do what they're supposed to do, especially in school. So if they're told to stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance,
what about if it says God?
Well, they don't do it anymore, man, because it does say God. This kid here wants to have the Pledge of Allegiance back in school. I don't know. Maybe he's just one of those weird kids that digs history, appreciates, you know, the place that these things have in life. Here is Channel 25 in Boston speaking with parents outside of the school to see what their thoughts are on the issue of the Pledge of Allegiance coming back into the classroom.
I believe that you should be able to say your Pledge of Allegiance. This is your country. You live here. You love your country. You should be able to pledge allegiance to it. We did it as kids, and you should do it as adults, and the kids should be able to do it again.
So you don't see anything wrong with it
Absolutely
whatsoever?
Absolutely not. No controversy whatsoever.
Can you recite the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, for which it stands. Oh, my God. You're going to make me do this? I can't
Naturally, they picked out the one lady that can't remember.
It's not that easy,
isn't
it? Terrible.
Not that easy. Any normal human being can do the Pledge of Allegiance. That jackass picked out the one interview he did all afternoon where the woman couldn't remember it, and he stuck that up on the 11 o'clock news, or stuck it in the 11 o'clock news.
Stuck something in.
Here is a father weighing in.
I think the pledge is fine at the school level. I mean, the schools are supported by our tax dollars as part of our country and stuff. And so, yeah, I think at this point to pledge allegiance to our country in a setting that is supported by the people of our country seems to make some sense.
Do you see why some people think it's not appropriate, though, or not?
I think so. I mean, in the level that our country will probably rise and fall like every other country that's ever
existed. What the hell?
Sure, I can see, you know, not pledging your allegiance to a place that's temporary.
You know, that's the most simple-minded bastard I think I've heard in 6 months. But only an American has the luxury to think like an idiot. Only an American has the luxury and the time to think like a jackass. That's the beauty of this country. We have the time, we have the space, we have the peace of mind, we have the freedom that we can sit back with our pants unzipped and just think about all these marvelous things.
I think it's very temporary.
Hey, Charlie, you better hope it ain't, man, because you don't sound like you're ready for much else. 877-876, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the most obese states in the country still to come, plus the ACLU issues travel warnings to Arizona. That's very funny, ACLU. Do you do that, man? Do you issue travel warnings? Or is that just some bright idea you got from the Mexican Foreign Ministry? World-famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you talking about, man? I feel a travel warning.
Phil, you go anywhere you want, man.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Seriously, this is a guy, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to make an example. This is an example of a guy. He starts out sounding pretty sensible. And then when this jive-ass mother from this Boston TV station, I don't know who this guy is, Channel 25, some chump change guy they send out there to talk to the parents, he asks one lady to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and when she forgets it, it's not that easy, is it? Like it's a real trick question, man. The Pledge of Allegiance, you got to be high. You don't know the Pledge of Allegiance? You think that's some... Wow, how many people remember it, huh? That's pretty... But you understand how some people... No, I don't, personally. I wish you would ask me that question. I don't understand how anybody could object to the Pledge of Allegiance. I can't understand that at all. With the under God, I do. I understand that. But once you take that out, there is absolutely no reason why the kids shouldn't be reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. And any parent that finds a problem with it is an egotistical... Understand what I'm saying here. An egotistical pain in the ass. What that means is the following. Their lives are so empty that they've got to cause a problem. They've got to shake things up so that the school and the kids and the this and the that focuses in on their sorry asses for about 5 seconds. Well, I don't think that the pledge... Really? Why is that? Well, let's listen to some of the reasons. Here's one here. Here's a guy. He starts out sounding fine. I think he sounds just fine. Yeah, sensible guy. Yeah, pledge of allegiance. Yeah. Now listen to the reasons that he gives for why it might not be a good idea.
I think the pledge is fine at the school level. I mean, the schools are supported by our tax dollars as part of our country and stuff. And so, yeah, I think at this point to pledge allegiance to our country in a setting that is supported by the people of our country seems to make some sense.
Do you see why some people think it's not appropriate, though, or not?
I think so. I mean, in the level that our country will probably rise and fall like every other country that's ever existed. Sure, I can see, you know, not pledging your allegiance to a place that's temporary.
Have you ever heard such a stupid man in your life? I thought, you know, he started out real good, and then when he came up with that, and this guy, Frank Bellico, is that this guy?
Yes, I'm Italian. What?
What has that got to do with anything?
Well,
yeah, you shouldn't say that, man. That's ethnic.
Well, I thought he was...
Don't worry about it, man. What's his name?
Frank Bellico.
Hey, Frank, what's your story, huh?
You can understand why some people...
No, we can't understand. Nobody can understand. There isn't anybody... The best answer you got was this guy? After you had that lady screw up because she couldn't remember the Pledge of Allegiance, aha, let's use this clip. This is really good. And then you have this bonehead, and you can understand why some... Why, Sam, because why pledge your allegiance to something that's temporary? Are you the... You got to be kidding, man. Are you looking for the dumbest guy in Boston? Is that the award this week? You find somebody that's got a good reason for the kids not saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Not the God thing. The God thing is I would agree, personally, that when they put the God thing in there in the 50s, all they did was create a problem. But having said that, if you take God out of it, why can't the kids say the pledge? There is no reason. There is no good reason. Just a handful of parents that want to be the center of attention for 5 minutes and hold forth on their philosophy of government and people and individual liberty and just kind of being a holy pain in the ass. That's their philosophy of life. All right. Don't forget the website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. You know, the 20th anniversary of the Phil Henry Show is coming up. That is, our 20th birthday party, I should say, is coming up. We're going to be celebrating our 20th birthday party with a series of events and a number of things. So we've been around since 1990, and in August 23rd of this year, we will celebrate our 20th birthday. So you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get some more information on that. One more story here on the ACLU issuing travel warnings to Arizona. The nation's top civil liberties group on Wednesday issued travel alerts for Arizona, saying the state's new law cracking down on illegal immigrants could lead to racial profiling and warrantless arrests, because after all, Arizona must have nothing but stupid racist cops. Ain't that right, ACLU? I mean, that's what that is. Well, I don't know. It could be, profiling and everything.
Well, what are you talking about, them being racist?
That's what they're saying. That's what the ACLU is saying. Could be racial profiling because the cops are racist. That's what they're saying. Stupid and racist.
No, man. They're just saying they're going to be a profile.
Why would a cop profile somebody unless he's an idiot? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but he could make a mistake or something.
Well, sure he could make a mistake. If you're a cop, I guess you're going to make a mistake. If it's a mistake, it's a mistake. But the fact of the matter is these are professionals, are they not?
Yeah.
Okay. You're a professional police officer. Here is your job. You may not profile. You understand? Yes, sir. The ACLU is saying that there's going to be profiling. You want to know why? Because the average jackass in the ACLU would probably profile people in the same position. In fact, the ACLU probably profiles people left and right. Well, look at that poor dumb Mexican. Let's go over there and lend a hand. How about that? The ACLU doesn't think it's possible to enforce this law because they wouldn't be able to do it. As individuals, as human beings, they look at this law and they figure it is impossible to enforce because as members of the ACLU, as just individual citizens, as just regular people, anybody that's opposed to this law, I submit to you, is admitting that as people themselves, they would be prone to profile. They would be prone to racially judge somebody, to be prejudiced. And so if that's the way they are, by God, they're the best people on earth. We know that. So nobody can be better than them. So these cops in Arizona, they must be the, you know, obviously they're cops, so they're the dregs. So they must be profiling people. That's what they're saying. That's the arrogance. The opposition to this law is fading everywhere. California and all of that silly garbage that we in California engaged in with the counties boycotting and not doing business here and not doing business somewhere else. Guess what? Now they're rescinding some of that because the business that the state of California and the individual counties do with Arizona saves the state and saves those counties money. And they need those products and services. And they're having to rescind some of those boycotts. They're having to go around there. They're having to make exceptions. In other words, they look like a pack of flaming hypocrites. So why don't you guys climb off it, okay? Even though it feels good. Quit it, bud. Climb off of it even though it feels good. What a child.
That's funny.
Anyway, climb off it and get with the program, all right? Get with the real people. Why we think this is racist. Why don't you explain to me why the hell it is you think it's racist, all right? Because you're going to come to the conclusion that I came to. You are accusing Arizona's police officers of being racists. You are saying they cannot possibly be better people than you. Because you people, you county officials and city officials for Los Angeles, you bastards would probably profile the hell out of people. And you can't possibly see anybody doing anything else because you're just marvelous. Climb off it, even though it feels good.
I told you!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez, our screener Dan Northcraft. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.